Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Bread aisle, are you ready to rock? Dave's Killer Bread is the country's number one organic bread for a reason. Always delivering killer taste, killer texture, and killer nutrition. This isn't bread, this is bread amplified.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends, family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you. Then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you. Let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't gotta be super smart and gotta know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever it is.
It's good if you wanna be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money, buy income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste some good food on place.
What's good with it, my wealth builders? It's your boy David Bellard. Here with my brother Jalen Clark. What's good?
What's popping with it? How you doing, my brother?
Doing good, man. You know, I'm excited. It's another day. We back in the lab getting ready to hook up. Season 5 of the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast has been going nuts, and it's going to continue to go that way.
Yes, sir.
How about you, man? How you living?
Man, I'm doing great, dog. The transition to Houston been good. Just really getting to know the area and stuff like that. But like you stated, I'm ready to get this podcast going. Ready to just really get these gems out. Excited about our guest, dog.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, we got a heavy hitter on today, guys. She's always out here putting out value to the people. And we're excited and ecstatic to have her on the show. Before I get to finally introducing our guest, though, just want to let y'all know to make sure y'all leave a 5-star rating and review on the show.
Need that.
It continues to help us grow and expand and get out this useful information to people who need it. Also, if you didn't come to our event in Dallas in January, you played yourself, punched yourself in the face.
Should have been there.
You'll be good. But
don't miss the next.
Don't fret. We got the next one coming up. To stay tuned, to stay
in the loop
with what we got going on, text events to 337-455-7778.
There you go.
Events to 337-455-7778. BWR may be coming to a city near you, popping up doing something free or a little event. So look, pop up. Be in the know. But with that out of the way, as mentioned, y'all, we have another great guest on the episode today. Now, this lady here, she is a stay-at-home millionaire educating people on how to become entrepreneurs and build sustainable businesses, primarily in the digital and creator spaces. She's done some amazing work in terms of helping business get funded, in terms of helping people really learn entrepreneurship. None other than Miss Sierra Nicole. Sierra, how you doing?
I am doing amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for pulling up.
Definitely appreciate it. And shout out to Portia for making this connection.
Oh, yeah.
Our girl Portia, she's there.
Shout out.
Yo, y'all need to have Sierra on. I was like, hey, if Portia putting the stamp on her, I was like, I seen you on social media. It's like, yo, let's do it. We got to make it happen. So
yeah.
appreciate you taking the trip down and Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we'll just get right on into it. Can you give us a brief introduction of who you are and how'd you find your way into this digital entrepreneurship area?
Yeah, for sure. So I've been a full-time entrepreneur since like January 2019. In 2018, I had my daughter. Well, I moved here to Texas with my now husband. I was pregnant at the time, and he had a trucking company. So I didn't know anything about trucking or business. I was actually a college student and ended up dropping out of college. I got pregnant, dropped out of college, moved 1,000 miles from my hometown.
So where's your hometown?
Arizona.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so I'm sure you know how that went.
That was a leap of faith altogether.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so when I moved here, I actually started working while I was pregnant. And I was working like at Kroger. I had like an admin job. I had two jobs pregnant because if you know anything about the trucking industry, it's high liability, high overhead. And it was just us. I mean, I was learning the industry. My husband was already in it, but it just seemed like thing after thing just kept going wrong. So it's like,
and you made some money, you got to spend some money.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I started working and I actually had a high risk pregnancy. And so I was maybe like 8 or 9 months pregnant and I was at work and I was having like contractions. I had a panic attack. The medics had to come, everything. And afterwards, my boss was like, well, you can't leave because there's no one to cover your shift.
Are you serious?
What?
Yeah. And so that was the last day that I ever worked a 9-to-5 corporate America for anybody else, because I was like, this can't be real life. Like, this cannot be my reality for the next 50 years.
That's nuts.
You know? And so I literally took that leap of faith that day and I just never returned. And so I was at home. My husband was doing the trucking. He was over the road in the oil field for months at a time. I ended up going through postpartum depression. And so at that time, you know, I was just stuck in this like hole. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't really doing anything. Mm-hmm. And I lost an extreme amount of weight. I was very unhealthy. And so January 2019, I was like, something has to change, you know? And so I ended up doing something that's called a 30-day self-affirmation challenge. I saw another influencer. I can't remember his name. I think it's like Wesley something, Wesley Billionaire, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to him.
So a 30-day affirmation challenge.
Yeah. And so what I did was basically I made a video of myself every single day saying self-affirmations, and I was posting it to Facebook. That was the first time I had ever made a video of myself and posted it online ever. And so I was like, I just need to do something different because I don't know how to get myself out of this like dark hole that I was falling into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I posted it to like, I probably had like 200 friends on my Facebook page, but for some reason it gained traction. And I was like, okay, people are interested in this. I don't even know what I'm doing, but let me just keep posting and just see what happens. And then in the midst of that, my husband was growing the trucking company. We ended up getting multiple trucks. I was learning about business credit. I was learning about entrepreneurship. I was booking the load. So I was just diving really deep.
Dispatch and stuff like that.
Exactly. And so I was like, you know what? Let me just start posting about this and see what happens. And then I posted something about business credit and it just started to take off.
And I don't want to glance over that piece like you, like sharing that you went through this postpartum depression. You had these challenges prior to going into this, right? So I think it's very important you said that about having to do something different. Like whenever you're in a low place, whenever you're not feeling like yourself, you have to make a change at one point or another. And that change for you started with just putting it out there on social media. And I know you kind of say, well, you're not sure why people were so attracted to it. I think it's because you were leading with vulnerability. You're like our guy Kizzy says, like, In a world where everybody just shows their highlights, you came and showed the lows and discussed and talked through them. And then, so can you talk us through some of those self-affirmations more? Like, what are some of the things that you were telling yourself that helped you get out of there?
Yeah, I mean, I was literally just, I would get on camera and be like, Sierra, you are amazing. You're prosperous. You are successful. You know, you're an amazing mother. You are meant to have wealth, like just little just things like that that seem very, very simple. But it was really building up my self-confidence. And as you know, as entrepreneurs, confidence in yourself is everything.
Yeah,
you know,
extremely important.
It's very important. And so I was really building that up. And at the time, I didn't realize what I was doing and the impact that it was going to have. But everything that I'm doing now with even being able to create content, I credit it to those moments of me just speaking those affirmations, even at the time where I didn't feel like I was those things, but it's almost like I self-programmed myself to become that mm-hmm. because I wasn't that at the time. But now all of those things have come into fruition.
So whenever you're starting to do this, you see, you know, you're starting to get traction. When did you really realize that, hey, this is something I can really leverage and start to take advantage of?
Yep. So it was like early 2020, right when, like, you know, everything, the world shut down mm-hmm. pretty much. And trucking was down, like everything was just bad. And so I was like, let me just see if I can like do a class or, you know, something to just like bring in like a few dollars, anything. So I launched a business credit class, and that first class made $5,000 in 2 days.
Really? Okay, time out. So 5,000 in 2 days.
Yeah.
What type of following do we have at this point? And what type of systems do you have set up? Like, how'd you learn all of that?
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Yep. So I think I probably had close to 5,000 friends on Facebook. That's about it. Very small Instagram, probably like 1,000 followers on Instagram. Nothing crazy. I was started building my TikTok early 2020, but I mean, I wasn't getting any much mm-hmm. traction at that mm-hmm. time. So I primarily was focused on like my Facebook audience, my 5,000 friends I had built over the course of like 8 months or so, you know, after the affirmations had happened. And so
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
From there, I was like, let me just put a class out. It was nothing fancy. I think it had like an Eventbrite. And I was emailing people individually, like there was no system, no automations. I didn't know anything about that. You know, I had people just send me PayPal.
Hey,
you know,
I love it though. Like, that's one of the things I think people overcomplicate, right?
Start where you at. Right.
Start where you at with what you have. Like, so you didn't know all those things then, right. But you were able to put on a class that made $5,000 after 2 days of sharing it and marketing it with your people. So like,
I think another thing that highlights too, though, is the fact she didn't have a huge audience. People think you need to have 50,000, 100,000 followers to make good money, but you monetize off of 5,000 people. You made $5,000 off of 5,000 people. Like, you didn't even have to, I don't even know like your percentage of the audience that you're actually tapped into, but people think you have to have these massive followings, and it's not true as long as you're in tune with what your audience is looking for.
Are you providing them answers that value? Mm-hmm. Love it. So, all right, the first class, this is your first go-round. It makes $5,000. Talk us through the mindset after that. And when did you recognize that, like, I could probably, like, take this and turn this all the way up?
So it was actually Austin who kind of helped me flip that switch because, like I said, he's been in trucking since he was 21 years old.
So Austin is your husband?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
He bought his own truck at 21. And when we saw that I made $5,000 in 2 days and he would be out on the road for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time trying to make that same money, we were like, yeah, no, there has to be something to this. You know what I mean? Because that just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. How much work that he had to put in to make that. And then I'm sitting at home with the baby, clicking a button on the computer and did the same thing, you know? So I think that's when the light bulb went off for us.
That makes sense. I mean, like, the beauty of digital products and things of that nature, like courses that are information-based, you only have to do the work that one time and you can monetize it repeatedly. And I mean, versus like you just said, trucking, you taking hours. So you recognize that. What was the thing that helped you become a stay-at-home millionaire? Because like I seen you mention it on a previous interview. It was like a $27 product or something that you created. Yep. Did we talk about that?
Yep. So, it's funny because I love talking about like low-ticket products because people tend to shy away from that because especially with Black-owned businesses, just something that I've noticed is that we talk about charging our worth, right? It's like, you know, you've had these years of experience. You've, you know, helped so many people. Like, you are worth X amount, so you need to be charging that. But a lot of people don't understand what goes into pricing and knowing your audience. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, I was charging a little bit more. I think maybe that class was like $100, you know, that class that made like the $5,000. But then in like 2020, like March, early like March, April, I started getting on TikTok, doing like the TikTok videos. Mm-hmm. And I started doing like little TikTok dances, but I would put informational, little stuff on top of like mm-hmm. the video. And so that started to gain traction. And then it's crazy because at that time we didn't have a car. We had a semi truck. So I would be going to the store literally in the semi truck.
Real
with
shit?
A baby. We had the car seat, which I don't know if this is legal, so it but we had the car seat in the semi truck going to like Kroger and doing stuff like that, right? And so I noticed that my social media was getting traction. And so what we actually ended up doing, which helped blow up my TikTok, was my husband went and got me a Mercedes under his business credit with the trucking company. I posted the Mercedes saying, hey, we just got this with our business credit. Blew up on TikTok. Like, it was almost like it was overnight, you know? And so at that point is when I realized, okay, a lot of people want this information. They need this information. But if you look at statistically, the audience that I was trying to target, if you look at their income levels, me charging them hundreds of dollars or even thousands of dollars for this information wouldn't make sense. So it's like, you know what? I'm gonna just put it out there for $20 and they can get the $10,000 worth of game that I'm about to put into this course for $20. Mm-hmm. And it blew up.
Mm. So you said a few pieces in there. One of the things that really stuck out to me was people not understanding how to define pricing. And then you also went into the part of your target audience and their income level. So what are the factors that go into helping you define your pricing for your products?
Yeah. So the number one thing is figuring out exactly who your audience is. Like, who do you want to target? Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you're targeting corporate executives that make $100,000 a year, then yeah, they have more disposable income to pay on certain solutions that you'll be able to provide them, right? Mm-hmm. But me, I'm targeting startup businesses, especially most of my audience are Black women, 75% of them are, mm-hmm. right? And so we know that their income levels, just the reality of it, it's not everyone's making six figures.
Less than 10% of people are making six figures.
Exactly, right? And so it's even a smaller percentage when it comes to the Black community. And I knew that was my audience because that was who I was purposely targeting to help. And so you have to really look at, okay, who am I targeting and what are, like, how much money are they able and willing to spend on this solution? Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people mess up because they go and create this amazing product and then they try to put a price on that. What I've done is I say, okay, this is who I'm targeting. This is how much that they'll probably be able to pay for it. I'm going to create something that fits into that price point. Right. Because I know that, hey, maybe they can spend $100 or less on this. I'm not going to go create a done for you program that takes me, you know, all this effort and time to do it. No, I'm just going to create something that's more like DIY mm-hmm. to where it fits into that price range, but still gives them the same result.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And another thing, like, did you see any difference with the price point, though? So like, other guests that we've had, they're like, you know, whenever I raise my price point, I do attract a different clientele and I don't experience some of the problems that I had with the lower ticket item. Are you experiencing some of those things?
That comes when you have a system in place, right? Because I always tell people that everybody wants to be the Gucci, the Louis, you know, of business. And that's fine if that's your business model. But don't forget that Walmart is a $1 billion company.
You spitting right there. You know what
I
mean?
So I was like, let me figure out how. I don't mind being the Walmart, because at the end of the day, you're still getting quality products and people are going there consistently every single day. I have people who have been with me, like buying every single course or program or event that I have. They're buying it. So over time, they have spent thousands with me, even though it's been in increments versus all at one time.
The customer value is,
lifetime
is value, lifetime a lot value of your higher. Customer increases. And then also too, one thing that people don't realize is that having low ticket products, that doesn't have to be the only thing that you offer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just an entry point. And then from there, you increase that lifetime value of your customer by having other things, like having a monthly membership, having a done for you higher ticket program that some people will actually opt into, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not the basis of your program. And just because you're charging $27, or the other day I just dropped a $7 product.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you're worth $7. No.
Like you said, you're creating different products for different people.
Right.
Like you're the Walmart of business. Cause even in Walmart, you go in the bread aisle, they got the cheaper bread. You can get the
great value
with the Vanilla made, the little plain white bread, or you can go get the artisan fancy stuff. Right. But it's for different clientele, the person with more disposable income or the person who has problems that are better suited for the done for you program. Like something I was discussing with one of my mentors is like certain people, because like we talked about their income level, they're not going to be able to see the value in a done for you program. Mm-hmm. Right. They're not going to see the value in a mentorship, because to them, the time, they don't have the money. So they don't have the money, so they're willing to spend the time. But the person who has the money will always just spend the money instead of taking the time. Because as you and I know, I'm sure you've learned this over your journey, at one point in business, you can't do everything yourself.
Right.
Like you're going to have to outsource and start getting information to get handled by other people. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself crazy trying to learn every system, everything. It's insane.
Yeah, and that's really a mindset shift as well for your customer, because there's a point where when you are at a certain income level, your money is more valuable than your time, right? But then once you start to increase the income level and to see a little bit more success in your business or your career, you realize that my time is more valuable than the money, but it's just they haven't made that shift yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to meet them where they are.
So I got a question. So it sounds like you weren't really privy to digital products before you launched yours. Where'd you get the idea for a digital product?
I just saw other people doing it, honestly. That was back in 2020. So I saw other people, they had courses, and I've had bought a couple courses and things like that, you know, watching YouTube University. And I just saw other people
YouTube
doing
University.
It. Right. You
That's
can't.
A fact. And so the reason why I'm asking that is right now, I know David says it a lot, we're seeing a shift in the digital landscape. We're seeing people going from a lot of course-based products to the membership, like you're stating. What's your thoughts on that, and how are you getting yourself positioned to take advantage of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there has been a huge shift. And it started last year, honestly. And the reason for that is, which I don't know if you into like the whole astrology thing, I'm not really into it, but I saw this article sometime last year that really just like flipped a switch for me. And they said that we're moving from the age of the Pisces to the age of the Aquarius. And the age of the Pisces is where we're putting people on a pedestal, you know, the whole influencer era, with the lifestyle marketing, people want to follow you, worship you, whatever, right? We're coming out of that era, and people want a more of a community feel, a collaborative feel. So that's why you see a lot of, I don't know how to put this without sounding bad, but you see a lot of the top kind of falling, you know what I mean? People getting exposed or whatever because of that. And so the community model is more so, hey, I'm not just following someone's philosophy and teaching. Now I'm within a group of like-minded people, and we're in this together versus me just trying to follow somebody. It's like, no, this is my community. And so I've noticed that shift has been huge. And also the marketplace is a lot smarter than they were before. So you're not able to just so easily put a course out and be like, hey, I've achieved this. Just come buy it without people asking questions, you know?
Even like, I think one thing that I've noticed like the Evergreen webinars, right? People used to lie and be like, oh, this is a live webinar. Yeah. Tune into this training right now. The average consumer understands at this point that that's not a live webinar. Yeah. Like, no, this is a recorded. So just that transparency. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'm not into astrology, so I've never heard it, but the way you describe the shift is very much what I've seen. Is like that pivot toward like idolization of this one person to like, okay, but what is the actual back end and what's
the value?
Who can I rely on within this community and who can we network with? Yes. What are we building here actually, you know?
Yes, exactly.
I think another part with it, you talked about like they're asking questions like, okay, but what's the truth? With the community, you can come in as a new member and you can say, okay, who's some of the oldest members in here? Right. What have you guys experienced? You know, what's been some of the most helpful things for you? You get to get that live feedback from people who's been a part of it for a while.
Exactly, exactly. And so that's why I've actually moved majority of my business model into the membership model. So I still have a couple like one-off courses that I'll do, but last year I ended most of those one-off courses and focused mostly on my community and membership program.
Makes sense. So like with the one-off courses, they're still kind of just out there like little appetizers. Like, hey, maybe just in case y'all, before we marry, you want to go on a little date, get some information, get that, but come on down here.
Right.
So with that, I'm going to ask the same thing about pricing, right? How do you come up with the pricing for a membership? Because this is now a recurring based thing. It's not a one time. How are you determining your price on that?
Yeah, so it depends on the type of membership that you want to have and exactly what it is that you offer, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people think that all membership communities are the same and they're not. So you have memberships that are mostly based on the community itself, meaning like there's not really any education or training, but people are joining just to be around these people, around this community of people, like more of almost like a social club, you can think of it, right? Mm-hmm. You have those type of communities. And there's some communities that are almost like group coaching programs. So you have to just think of like, what is the value that someone's getting out of it? And a lot of people don't understand true value creation and what that really means.
Attention business owners and high earning individuals. Take control of your finances with the tailored tax planning services of Magnolia Tax Services. Their team of experts specialize in maximizing savings for individuals and businesses by utilizing the latest tax laws and strategies. From complex business structures to high net worth individuals, they'll develop a customized plan to minimize your tax liability and increase your bottom line. On average, they save their clients $17,500. Don't leave any of your money on the table. Contact our partners at Magnolia Tax Services today for a consultation and start planning for a financially secure future. Go to blackwealthrenaissance.com/taxes or click the link below.
Let's talk about it. Like, what does it truly mean to create value to somebody? Because we throw the word out a lot, right, in the space. What does that mean to create value for your client?
Yep. So there's a book called The $100 Million Offer by Alex Hormozi.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one Nipsey Hussle read to get his album to like 100.
Oh, is it?
He talks about the Subway sandwich. Is it the sandwich? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So in that book, and that's what really changed a lot for me, just mm-hmm. reading that and understanding what value creation really is.
What's the name of that book one more time?
The $100 Million Offer. Okay. And so he talks about in that book what value creation is. And he says that it is basically looking at someone's dream outcome and understanding the higher the dream outcome is, the more value that the offer has, right? So for example, if someone's dream outcome that you can offer is them, buying $100,000 house, that's a big outcome versus, I don't know, being able to help somebody make $500. That outcome is a little bit smaller. So the value
is
smaller, right? Also, the perceived likelihood of achievement. If someone looks at you and your marketing, how likely do they feel that they will be successful in it? So if you're someone with a track record, you have a ton of testimonials, that perceived likelihood is going to be higher because like, yeah, I have a really good feeling that if I go with them, I'm going to achieve XYZ, right? Mm-hmm. So now your value is higher. If you're someone who's a little bit newer, you don't have any social proof, you don't have any experience, that value is going to be a little bit lower. You know what I mean? What you have to offer. Exactly. How much effort and sacrifice does it take for that person to achieve the dream outcome? Is it a DIY? That that takes a lot of effort on the customer's part to achieve it. So that's a much lower value for that product. Is it a done for you where you're taking care of everything? They just have to show up. The value of that is high because their effort that they put in to get the dream outcome is so low. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to think about these things when it comes to pricing. And so a lot of people miss that because they don't know how to actually create value and what your value is. It has nothing to do with your worth as a person, but what is the value that's created from what you're offering?
Well, that's good. That's deep. I like that.
I like the way you broke that down as well. Because I think, again, like, too often we just think value, and like people say provide value, but what does that look like? Right. I like that definition of the dream result of what they have, and kind of even going into that same thing earlier that we spoke about, people just getting started, they want to come out and be Gucci. Right. And it's like, you can't, you got to get that backing before, you got to get those testimonials to prove your value. You can't just say, I'm valuable, buy this from me. You need to establish and get some actual results behind it. Sometimes that comes in working for free. Sometimes that comes in getting people to test your product or service. So I do appreciate you sharing that, and I definitely hope that they gain some value from that aspect of it.
Absolutely. So I kind of want to pivot and go into some of the larger months that you had, and what did that preparation look like, right? We hear people saying, yo, I want to make $50,000 a month. I want to make $100,000 a month. But they don't understand the real preparation that comes into obtaining that type of success, right?
Yeah.
So what did you have to do to prepare yourself to reach $100,000 months?
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly a really great question, because I tell people all the time that you have to be prepared for what you ask for, right? Because why would you be blessed with, you know, being able to have 1,000 customers this month if you're going to fumble that, right? Because now that's going to ruin your reputation. It's like, you're going to wish that you never even had that success. So you have to be prepared. You, even if you have 10 customers, you need to prepare your business for 1,000 customers, you know? So that goes into your systems. What type of systems do you have? Being able to automate certain things within your business, having a payment processor, simple things like that, to where you know, okay, if something goes viral tomorrow, I'm ready for it.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
So what did that look like for you, right? You go from using Eventbrite, emailing people yourself. What type of education did you have to do? Did you go find a course? Did you join a cohort who said, okay, this is how I can help you become this six-figure earner, course creator? What did it look like?
I mean, I was on YouTube University. I spent a lot of hours just watching different videos and just trying to educate myself on how to do this better. Because one thing, like, I love to teach. That's what I love to do. I love to educate. I love to see that light bulb go off in people. You know,
is that what you're in school for? Is that what you were in school for?
No, I was actually in school for accounting. Okay. Yeah. Really.
That's very interesting. But
with the trucking business, you'd have
handled. Yeah, that's what I said. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I Googled when I was a senior in high school, what careers make the most money? Accounting just popped up top of the list. I was like, I'm going to do that.
You was a smart high school.
Yeah. But honestly, really that shift for me with being able to hit those higher months was one, preparing, you know, my systems ahead of time. Because one mistake that I did make early on was in 2020, when I did have a video go viral and I hit 1 million views on TikTok, I wasn't prepared for it. And I know for a fact that I left a lot on the table because I wasn't prepared.
What did it look like not being prepared?
I mean, when you hit 1 million views in like 2 days, when people are blowing you up and you don't have any automations or systems in place.
So I want to ask about it, because the video that got the 1 million views, was there a call to action on it for the people already? Or like, was that just kind of, it was just viral with for information?
So there was, I had this like text number, and I was like, text this number for like information, which it was, I was in there on my phone trying to get people's emails and numbers. I'm like, this, like, I fumbled the bag.
So you didn't have no CRM or nothing with it.
That's when I was like, okay, I got to figure something out. And that's when I started doing more research and like, okay, yeah, I got to have a CRM. I think I got on like ClickFunnels and Kajabi. And I was like, let me just put this together better because there's no way that I'll be able to keep up. And I know from that experience is what really helped me learn more about automations and sales funnels and things like that.
Mm. So what, and another part that I kind of want to get into with the digital products is what does it look like to come up with a curriculum, right? Where you spoke about going from either a DIY or a done for you. Mm-hmm. What does it look like actually putting in the work to create that curriculum as well?
Yeah. So I know that's a struggle that a lot of people have, especially when you have knowledge about something. And because you've been doing it for X amount of years, you're at such a high level. And so what I tell people is that you have to remember that the average reading level in the United States is fifth grade reading level. And so you need to be able to break down the process for what you're teaching as if you're teaching it to a fifth grader. Mm. Because majority of the people that we're dealing with, no matter their income levels, the majority of people, their reading level is going to be somewhat of that average. And so I just say you just have to break it down. And what I tell people, if you're, this is your first time doing like a digital product, it really helps to just do a live like masterclass type of ordeal. Mm-hmm. Because then you know exactly what people want to learn instead of you just guessing and pre-recording, because people will be in there asking you questions and that helps you teach. And then you'll be able to say, okay, this is the questions that people are asking. Let me go put that together in the actual curriculum.
Mm, gotcha. That's good.
Yeah.
So I did have another question with preparing 6 months and building your business up to that point, right? So the first time you fumbled the bag when you had the viral video, from there, what did you do differently outside of getting the CRM to make sure that like whenever you had the traction that the product sales occurred? And then from there, on the marketing standpoint, did you change anything about your marketing to kind of build up hype to hit those numbers?
Honestly, my marketing didn't change a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think even when I was making $5,000 all the way up to like my $90,000, $100,000 months, I stay very true to how I started, because that's the same thing that got your first customers is the same thing that can get your 1,000th customer. You know, a lot of people will try to switch it up and be like, okay, I'm big time now, you know what I mean? And switch, but then it's not resonating with your audience the same way. So I really kept my marketing pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
It was really that mindset shift as well that helped, because it's crazy because the months where I'm like, okay, yeah, I want to hit this number, and I was very focused on the money and the number of sales are the months that probably were my worst months. Mm-hmm. But the months where I was like, okay, I'm gonna let go of the numbers and just focus on the people, focus on making content that I know that people like. Like I noticed, okay, this video is getting traction. Let me do something similar to that again. I focus more so on my audience, and that's when I was hitting those six-figure months.
Mm, that's major.
And what does that look like for you creating content, being a full-time mom and a wife and also running a business?
I mean, it's a lot, but one thing I tell people is to not look at it as like content creation. I think Gary Vee says this, but look at it more as like documenting, right? So say I learned something new, I'll just go and like make a quick video about it. Back then I was doing a little bit more like structured videos because I was doing like the TikTok trends and the dances and putting the stuff on top of it. But yeah, especially now, I think it's a little bit more laid back with the style of content that you see. But it's more so just like documenting the process. I was documenting the things that I was learning. So when we got the car, I literally was just pretty much documenting that on video and putting it out.
Document the process.
Yeah.
And one of the easiest ways, I do appreciate you sharing that as well. And I do want to pivot into another topic that I kind of wanted to talk about. So I think I seen you may have posted a video on YouTube about this. Were you affected by the recent Bank of America scandal with the accounts being missing?
I wasn't, because I don't bank with Bank of America. I've been telling people to stop banking with Bank of America for a long time. For some reason, especially our community, we have like this toxic relationship with Wells Fargo, Bank of America.
And JP Morgan.
Yes, we just like, we won't leave them alone, even though we know that they're doing us dirty. Like,
ain't gonna lie, we just switched to Bank of America because some shit happened with Chase.
Yeah, then I started, the day we switched to Bank of America, I seen the video. We
started hearing about shit like this.
Wait, people money missing? Wait, what's going on?
Yes. is. They don't have a good track record when it comes to minority communities and really just doing business in general, you know? And so I always tell people that like smaller banks, credit unions, mid-sized banks, those are the banks where you can actually really build relationships mm-hmm. with the people in the banks. And it's going to help you in the long run so much more than these big corporations where you can hardly even get anybody on the phone.
You're just a number on the paper.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what's your favorite bank or some favorite banks that you refer people to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Truist, Vista Bank. Vista Bank, especially if you're an entrepreneur, they credit themselves as being like the entrepreneur's bank. Really? They're here in Dallas. They have a couple
you say
different
Vista? Locations.
Vista Bank.
I think, no.
Lubbock works with
Lubbock. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, and then there's a couple, I mean, really any small credit union, Navy Federal, even though everybody, I mean, everybody.
They ran that Navy Federal play into the ground. Navy fans said, not today.
They ran into the ground, but I've been with them for many years. But just any credit union, and no bank is like extremely better than another. Mm-hmm. You know, they essentially all do the same. Mm-hmm. It's all about building relationships.
Having that relationship with your banker. So I know you teach on business credit a lot. Is that one of the things that you teach with business credit to go to those smaller banks as well?
Yep.
To kind of go there, build those relationships. So with building business credit for yourself, what would you say has been like the, I don't want to say just the best, but the most beneficial relationship you formed, like, and how did, what did that foster? Like, so what relationship did you form with a bank, and like, what did that result in with building business credit for yourself?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, probably the relationships that we've built with the different car dealerships, mm-hmm. you know, so being able to walk into a car dealership and they know your name and you walk in and you get the car that you want with no down payment, no nothing. People think that I'm lying. I wish that we went in and like documented this, like literally on video, but to be able to go and get a car, not even show any income statements, bank statements, nothing, you know, just walking. Literally, like, it's all, like it was almost, we were.
Cause what are you telling me here, Miss Sierra? what are you really saying? Like, you just walk into the bank, say, hey, I want that one. Give me them keys, fella. Go walk it out.
That's how it felt. Obviously, like the paperwork, you got to have like your business credit. And we were going based off of our trucking company, which had been around for, you know, some years. We were making, I think the trucking company was doing like $300,000 a year, you know, so that helped.
Y'all had bought vehicles with them previously as well?
Yeah, with the trucking company.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So yeah, semi-truck, yep, semi-truck and all of that. And so that definitely helped with our process. But I tell people that it's possible, but a lot of people want to rush it. They want to start a business today and then next month go get a G-Wagon, and that's not how it works. Happen. You know what I mean?
You ain't even got the capital to sustain it.
Right.
Oh, I've always hated G-Wagons.
That craze made it so much more. Man, what?
Because, like, you know, my thing was, I always thought G-Wagons were ugly cars. So it's like, yeah, man, you can use your business credit, go buy a G-Wagon, write it off. And I'm like, well, why would I want a G-Wagon?
They're going to be living in that shit for the next 2 months.
But, like, to the same point, a lot of people try to get the chicken before the egg. It's like, you're not making enough money to afford this. Yeah, you wrote off the G-Wagon, but how you going to pay the car note every month, the insurance?
Right, exactly. A lot of people don't take that into consideration. And a lot of people don't understand the process of actually buying luxury vehicles. Because they think that you can go in because someone on TikTok said, I came here, had no down payment on my $200,000 car. That's not really how that works, especially if you've never bought anything of that caliber before. Like, you, there's like tiers to it. Mm-hmm. So a bank, for example, say you've only bought a $30,000 car. Now you're going in for a $100,000 car. They don't want to make that big leap. So they're going to say, hey, I can maybe front you like $60,000, but the rest you're going to have to come up with.
I got to get out the mud.
Man, it's playboy.
Right, exactly. So you have to work your way kind of like up the mm-hmm. tiers and the ladder and build that relationship with the dealerships, with the banks that you're getting the funding from.
Are you a small business owner looking to grow and expand your operations? Are you tired of all the gurus promising getting rich quick and then offering no results? At Black Wealth Renaissance, we understand the unique challenges business owners face in securing funding, and that's why we're excited to offer comprehensive funding solutions in partnership with ULeverage Capital. With ULeverage Capital, we've given you access to the Business Credit Builder, which is a powerful software that walks you through the process step by step of how to build business credit and guarantees you will secure the funding you need to grow and expand your business. Visit blackwealthrenaissance.com/funding today and get started on building your business credit and securing the funding you need to grow and expand your business to the next level. Again, that's blackwealthrenaissance.com/funding.
Makes sense, because I mean, they in a risk game. That's taking way too much risk on you. If I've seen you with a $30,000 car, now you're buying $150,000. Right. This five times more than what you have. Even, can you handle that?
Even if on like on the car side, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're going from this $30,000, you trading it in, you still not even knocking off a fraction. Versus if you do have a luxury car, like you're trading in a $100,000 car for another $100,000 car, the equity that you're getting out of that vehicle mm-hmm. is much greater than that economy or standard type vehicle.
Exactly. So a lot of people don't really take that into consideration, or they just don't know. I guess you just don't know what you don't know sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we'll see things on the internet and we'll just think that that's just the whole story, and it's not. Also too, it has to make sense for your business. Like if your business is making $100,000 a year, why would it make sense to the IRS that you have a $100,000 car or $200,000 car?
It don't. It don't make a lick of sense.
Right. So you don't have to think about the whole picture, you know?
Like, it's crazy. That's my campaign for this year, though. 2023, like, stop believing you can learn everything from a fucking TikTok video.
Right.
Like, golly, guys. Like, that shit really made me mad. It's like, bro, it's a minute and 30 seconds. You think that they're going to be able to talk about this entire nuanced topic in this. This is a little morsel. This is a little something to whet your mind so that you can get started. If you're the self-starter like yourself, you can go on YouTube University, get a long-form version of this, and go get that information. Or you can go get the course that they're actually offering or the prepackaged product so that you can get the full information instead of making moves off of bits and morsels.
Right.
Because people do it, and then they be like, man, this person scammed me, or they lied to me. It's like, no, you just didn't get all the information and decided to jump off the cliff.
Oh, yeah. Then that happens way too often. And that's also a part of why, if you look at my content now, I don't focus as heavily on business credit just because of that, because people come into it thinking that day one, they're going to get, you know, funded $100,000 and not really willing to put in the work. And then when it doesn't work, all of a sudden, oh, you scam me out of, you know, this amount of money. Like, no, you just didn't trust the process, you know? And so I kind of shied away from that, even though I know that's what a lot of my audience wants. I'm trying to kind of shift that mindset a little bit. Like, you got to put in some groundwork first before you can reap those benefits.
I'm glad you said that, because I saw a post that you posted and I got to ask you a question. Yeah. If you were down to your last $100 and you needed to start a business, what would be your next move?
I mean, that was me. That was me when I did our course. I said, okay, what piece of information do I know that other people want to know? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, let me just throw it out there. Like I said, I had no systems. Eventbrite was free to sign up for. I was using a free Gmail account. I didn't have to pay for that. So, you know, even if you want to use like Kajabi or Teachable, they have free trials. You know, get the 15-day free trial, put some information on there, or even just do a free class, get a free Zoom account and send people the link to the Zoom account for a class that you're doing for 1 hour and charge them, you know, $50 or $100, something like that. So, I mean, digital products, that's really the way that I would go. If I had to start over again, I would do it the exact same way.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't know of a lower barrier entry business than a digital product.
Yeah.
It's like literally you can do dang near everything for free. Yeah. All you need to do is have the information yourself and be able to explain and teach it to people.
That's it. It seems like it's so simple, but it really is. Like a lot of people overcomplicate the process of digital products or even just content creation and social media. You think that you have to have 10 years of experience and 10 degrees and have 100,000 followers. Like, no, you don't need any of that.
Everybody starts with zero.
Everybody.
If you were restarting today, would you still start with a course or would you start with a membership?
That's a really good question. I haven't actually even thought about that. I would probably start, like if I was starting today, I'd probably start with a course. I would, because I think that you want to make sure that this is what your audience wants, but also, is this something that you can see yourself doing in the long term? Because with the membership, it's a commitment. And I've actually tried to do memberships back in 2021 and it failed miserably.
We did too.
It failed like miserably. And it's crazy because I still have some people from that membership in my community now that stuck with me, you know, because I was very, very transparent with them throughout my entire process. And that's really key as well. Like a lot of people are afraid to be transparent with their customers, you know, because you don't have to come off as the perfect business owner every single day. So a lot of them have stuck with me, but it failed. But I would probably start out with the course to make sure that this is something that I want to do in the long term.
I'm glad you mentioned that it failed because that's something that we don't discuss enough in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, what's the biggest lesson that you learned from that failure?
I think the biggest lesson that I learned from that failed venture, I guess I can't really even call it a failure because I learned so much from it, and it's allowed me to build the community that I have now with over 700 monthly members in it.
Sheesh.
But the biggest thing I think that I learned from it is understanding that a course and the membership are not the same. A course, you are striving to just make that sale and that's it. A membership, okay, you have to make the sale, but then you also have to figure out how am I going to keep these people in here? So it's that retention that is the main focus. What value are you providing over the long term? That's the, I think, the biggest thing that I learned that helped me be successful in the membership that we have now.
Okay, well, we're going to have to do a part two for this because it's some stuff I definitely want to talk about, but we're going to switch gears. We're starting to come up on time. I know another one of the things we want to talk about was the Beyonce situation. Queen Bee, Behan.
Yeah, the internet and the
broke the net. Yes. Broke the net. What are your thoughts on the way she positioned herself? And then what are also your thoughts on the people who were complaining about not having money, but now they can buy a Queen Bee ticket?
Yeah, you know, that's always a funny topic because I'll see people say that about like the Beyonce tickets, like, oh, y'all didn't have money for my business, but now you got money for Beyonce, or you didn't have money for my business, but you buying those Jordans and things like that, right? But a lot of people don't understand that these brands, and Beyonce, she's a brand, she has built her community and built up her brand for decades. You know, that's a lot of work that's gone into it. And so people know that, hey, if I go pay $3,000 for his ticket, I know the experience that I'm going to get, and it's worth it, you know, because the value is there. And she has the type of brand where she can just drop something tomorrow for $3,000 and it'll sell out.
Should like Amazon Prime Day.
Literally, like it'll sell out immediately, but it's because of the brand, the reputation, and the track record that she just has in general with her community.
And you know, I've never really thought about it like that until you did say that.
What up? This is Torrey, host of the Hard to Earn podcast. And if you're a fan of music reviews, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Hard to Earn, where my partner Bonsu Thompson and I review your favorite new albums and classic albums on pivotal anniversaries, you know, 10, 15, 20, etc. We review track by track, rating from 1 to that elusive perfect 10. It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
The brand that she's built, even from Destiny's Child, right? It's like, yo, we've literally watched her. We've watched some of her star-studded performances, Super Bowl, Coachella, like, and people want to be a part of those things.
Right.
Like, they're fiending to be a part of those things. So I never really thought about it like that until you just broke that down.
And one thing you have to think about as well, because sometimes we reach a certain level of success, we kind of start getting lazy, right? So we think, oh, because my community, you know, they love me, they're dedicated to me, I can put out a crap product and they're going to buy it.
Shit.
But you know that when you watch a Beyonce performance, she's acting like this is her last performance.
It's going to be the same level that you
every
get.
Single time, every time. So that value is there, which is why it makes sense, you know, but you can't really compare yourself to someone who's been in the game for decades to, you know, a business that you just started a year ago. You know, there's really no comparison.
Nah, like comparing your chapter one to somebody's chapter 30 is exactly. A losing recipe every time.
Exactly.
Now, I will say with the thing, so I know initially what I saw was like people talking about
going to spend their rent money on Beyonce tickets.
Nigga said, "Y'all, my mama asked the first soul in my house."
Yo, what y'all got going on? Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, I understand it's great. Like, she's an amazing performer. She does her thing, but never put yourself in a position where you're not supposed to do this. Like, I know sometimes I want and the experience, right? Because people have no problem spending money on experiences. But we start talking about investing, just something that's going to do some work. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, $500 is a lot, player. I don't know if I got that, but I'm going to turn up next week. We got this trip. I'm bringing two bands on that. I ain't going to hold you. Like, it's not the same thought process, but I just don't think it should be a situation where people are so eager to put themselves in a negative financial position if they're not prepared already. Like, you know, they got, I just see people joke about it a lot. And I was like, yo guys, $1,400 tickets, that's some of y'all rent. Right. We know that like half people can't even afford $1,000 emergency. Right. So if you can't afford that $1,000 emergency, I better not see your ass at no Beyonce concert.
Well, you know, it's instant gratification, right? Mm-hmm. So an investment, you're not going to really reap the benefits of that. It's probably going to be long-term, but a concert or a pair of shoes or going out this weekend, that's instant. Mm-hmm. That reward is instant. So that's why people are so willing to dish money out for it, because they know, hey, I'm going to get what I paid for immediately versus an investment. It's going to take a lot longer. And also, too, one thing that Beyonce has created, and you guys should read the book called Contagious. It's an amazing book when it comes to marketing, but it's basically how to create a viral business and a viral product and within your marketing, because from Beyonce, she creates exclusivity. She builds up this anticipation and kind of like this mystery behind it, to where it's like you almost feel like you have to buy it just to see what it is. So she has built that up, and that's a really important component that you can, anybody can add to their business when it comes to like exclusivity and just building up that tribe, to where it's like people are waiting for the moment that your product drops.
People willing to spend their rent money to come to your product because you've built such a brand. Yeah. That makes sense. And like I seen that as well. I think she did like you had to register to verify your identity.
Right.
And like I think it was posted by her team that they were like 800% over demand of what the capacity of the concert venues are. So they were going,
they added like seven shows.
Like, but what goes to what Sierra's saying, it makes a lot of sense. It's like, I've built up this exclusivity and this excitement around it. So it's like, now instead of me coming out the gate and just giving it all to you, people are even more excited about it. Yep. We got seven new shows. Oh, I actually get a chance. Before I was talking out, man, I ain't going to be able to go. Now they got seven shows. I can go to one of these other ones.
Right.
And the tickets are actually more affordable than what I was thinking after me and Jalen had talked about. Apparently, she got some $80 tickets. So if you could, hey, within reason, I'm all for enjoying yourself, but we all about being responsible here.
Absolutely.
That's a fact. Can you give me that other book as well? I got Contagious. What was
the $100 million offer.
Yep, $100 million offer.
But I just wanted to have that for the people. I'll put it in the show notes so y'all can read that. And we are going to pivot to some of our last questions of the podcast. I want to say thank you again for coming on, but I'll let David get his first question out of the way.
All right. So one of my favorite questions to ask, what are you currently doing with your money to make sure that you're securing your wealth?
Yeah. So one shift that we've made kind of recently, especially being a digital social media based business, we realized that we were building a job for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't really pass that job down. It's hard to get people to invest into that because it's so depending on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really restructuring the way that we do business to where we're building an actual business with a business model, to where one day I'll be able to like walk away from it and still be able to benefit, whether it's to sell it or, you know, maybe my kids want to be into it one day. I really don't know, but actually building a business structure, because a job, just like working with corporate America, even when you're working for yourself, there's really no guarantee of what tomorrow is going to bring. So it's really just creating more stability as a social media entrepreneur. It's really key.
Mm-hmm. So content being recession proof, I think that's something that's like, people don't think about it enough, but you made a very valid point. I saw a video you posted saying that like when people run out of money to spend with you, what they can do is still watch you.
Yep.
And content being recession proof is like like, I think that's the backbone of what is now called the creative economy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So like the creative economy, you basically making money out of building an audience that you are able to influence and inform. So it's like, if they don't have the money to spend with you, you can still keep that audience and monetize it in multiple different ways through ad revenue. Dive into your opinion. And why do you think that it is content is recession proof?
Yeah. So when we hear recession proof and you see like online social media educators, gurus, whatever you want to call it, when they talk about, oh, you know, come learn the recession proof methods to how to survive in the recession, it's always, you know, buy up all the assets that people are going to be losing, buying the houses, the cars, the watches that people are going to have to get rid of, things like that. But those investment models, it takes you to have money
capital.
And majority of people don't have that. But when people are struggling with money, like you saw in 2020, right? People weren't buying as much. They were stuck at home. A lot of people lost their jobs, lost their incomes, but they were still watching social media. They're never going to stop scrolling. Whether you have a negative bank account or $10,000 in the bank, you're still going to be scrolling. And it costs $0 to do that. Also, too, especially when you think about a recession, the amount of people that are struggling financially, they want to escape from their reality, which is a lot of times why people do watch TV. They watch other people's live their life on YouTube, right? I've watched a video one time of somebody cleaning their house. I'm like, why am I watching this? I don't know. You know what I mean? But people will watch that because it's an escape from reality. And so if you can offer that to people, when the economy does go back up, you're the first person that they're looking to when it comes to your product, your service, or whatever. So it's really building that up now. And like you said, there's other ways to monetize, because even in a recession, these larger companies still need to market to their target audience. So there's still other ways to make money, even if you're not, you know, selling things to the consumer directly.
Makes a lot of sense. Like the top of mind, you stay on top of mind at all times. Like, think about fast food restaurants. They spend billions on marketing. Even if people not in going through the doors, they still spending billions. Mm-hmm. So you can basically do that for free with social media. You can be your own marketing machine. You just, it's all about your output. Can you get the content out there to the people? Because I think social media is like purely an attention game at the end of the day. If you're not putting out content, your audience is, you're losing out, right? Because we're all competing for the same finite audience. There's so many people on here. We know the algorithm doesn't show your content to everybody in your audience. So the more times you're frequently able to put out content, the more, even if you're not creating sales, you're creating views, and those views are creating trust. So definitely, I do appreciate you kind of expounding on that. So,
oh yeah, people don't realize that attention is the most valuable asset that you could have. And when people hear that, they think, oh, you know, they think something negative, like trying
they
to
do anything for clout, right? Clout chasing.
Right, but really attention is just being able to capture someone's mind, even if it's for a moment. So if you can capture a million people on a video, that is a very, very valuable asset, not only to your business, but to the valuation of your brand. So when you are maybe talking to investors or talking to big companies to put money into you, you can say, hey, I have this many people paying attention to me. That's worth a lot of money.
And they'll pay for it.
They will pay for it. They will, because people don't want to see traditional advertising anymore. Like, you're not going to sit and watch commercials all day.
I was telling him, radio ads, oh my God.
Right, annoying.
The most obnoxious advertisers I've heard in a long time. So definitely, like, it's shifting to the creator, that whole UGC shit. We go get up again.
I'll talk about it some more. I love it. So I got three questions for you myself. First question. Are you frugal or are you a flexer?
Oh, that's a good question. So I'm honestly more frugal. My husband is like more like flexer. And so I think we balance each other out. He helps me get out of that kind of like scarcity mindset, because I feel like when you struggled with money, when you've been like living out of a truck, you eat at Oodles and Noodles, like there's like that PTSD that you have. So like, so you're afraid to spend, but that can be very detrimental to your growth, because you really have to have an abundance mindset to be able to attract wealth and money. And so I think it helps sometimes to kind of be more of that like flexer, but I think I'm more frugal, but I'm trying to move out of that mindset wise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. So I know you're talking about setting up the business structure, right? But what are you doing to preserve your wealth for your kids after you're gone?
Yeah. So talk about like trust, having trust to where money is protected. One thing that we've really, really learned is talking about like life insurance. Even though I'm 25 years old, you know, I would have never even been thinking about life insurance. But that's a huge component into generational wealth, is being able to have that to where, you know, obviously everyone has to die. So being able to set them up with that, set them up with trust so that it's protected, and then setting them up with, like I said, just a better business model to where maybe we'll sell it or be able to pass on the actual business entity.
I love it. And my last question is, do you have life insurance?
Yes.
I love it. It's a must. Guy. If you ain't got life insurance, you're bullshitting.
Up. You better not be going to see Beyonce. I know that damn much.
Yes. We on y'all ass. But Sierra, I do want to say thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great. Like Jalen mentioned, we're going to have to get you back. It's a lot more stuff that we want to dive into with you. But this has been great. For the people who want to know where they can tap in with you, how they can learn more about any products or services or your community, can you just let them know how they can tap in?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, pretty much anywhere where there's content. You can find me under Sierra Nicole. I only have one page on every platform, though. So if you get followed by like 10 Sierra Nicoles, it's not me.
Scam us.
Yes.
They gonna ask you, would you like to buy some Bitcoin investment?
Yeah, I don't.
Hey there.
Bitcoin, I don't do Forex. I don't do none of that. I'm never gonna ask you for money.
I don't get why people. I'm not gonna do it.
We talk about it all the time.
I know.
We'll do it.
Because it's just a set of questions.
We're not gonna do it.
So, Sierra, you just gave out everything. Once again, thank you so much. We want to say thank you to all of our listeners. Appreciate y'all for coming in, week out. Thank you for helping us reach the success that we're at. Make sure that you're tapping in. Make sure you're staying updated to all the events that we have coming up. We might have something coming up in Houston at the end of this month. So, y'all be on the lookout.
Text events to 337-455-7778. AE, can we get it pop up on the screen?
Yeah, that's
my God.
There's gonna be some exclusive shit. We on our Beyonce shit now.
My God.
Exclusive.
Yeah. So text events to 337-455-7778. As Jalen mentioned, thank you so much for tuning in week in and week out. Continue to share this with people who need this information. Leave us those rating and reviews, and y'all make sure to tap in with our sponsors for the show. If you're looking to build business credit, we have partnerships with business credit builders. We have done for you, walk you through the process step by step, how you can get that done. And we also have partners with a tax service. So try to get your taxes done. It's tax time. Tap in. Link in the show notes.
Yes, sir.
But until next time, this is BWR signing out.
Peace.
Deuces.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.